Osayi Endolin is a writer who grew up in California with a Nigerian father. But their relationship was difficult. Her parents divorced, and Osayi mostly put him and her link to Nigerian culture aside until she moved to the South. She wrote a lovely, searching story for the Southern Foodways Alliance's quarterly, Gravy, about how eating in the South reminded her of her father's Nigerian food and how she's trying to reconnect to her heritage. Osayi, so good to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Francis.
So I want to start at the beginning of your story. There's this moment where you're working at a fine dining, modern Southern restaurant, and you come upon a traditional Southern dish that you'd never heard of before, but it reminded you of some of the Nigerian food that you grew up with.
Yeah.
Tell us about that moment.
I was working at Empire State South in Midtown Atlanta, and this was several years ago. We were at Family Meal, which is in restaurants before dinner service. The staff gets together and they eat. And it's a meal that's cooked by someone in the kitchen who has a number of other things to do. So usually this meal is pretty simple, just to get everybody fed and ready to start a long shift. So this particular afternoon, the meal was special because it was just so ornate. One of the guys on the line at that time cooked this meal of herb-roasted chicken, cornbread slathered with sorghum butter, and this side dish called Hoppin' John. And everyone was murmuring and kind of like, ooh, you know, because this meal, you know, smelled and looked so delicious. But I didn't know what Hoppin' John was, and so I asked. And I got these weird looks. And I was very quickly instructed that this was a common staple of Black Southern cooking. And sort of with a friendly eyebrow raise, kind of like, you need to know what this is. That's when I got my introduction to this dish of rice and black-eyed peas with bits of meat and onions and tomatoes and some of the customs around it. And I thought, oh, well, this is kind of familiar because my mom would sometimes make black-eyed peas. And then when I spooned the dish into my bowl and started eating it, I was like, oh, well, okay, I'm kind of getting this because my dad also cooked a dish that it was called Ewa Dodo. This was one of many moments that I had working at that restaurant where I started to connect many aspects of Southern cuisine with not just the history of enslaved people, but directly with stuff that my father would make or talk about.
Mm-hmm. And your relationship with your father, you write, has been hard for a long time, it sounds like. And you wrote that when you were a kid, his kitchen philosophy was a man needs his space, which is to say
right.
that he was intimidating and you were not allowed in the kitchen. So what was it like for you to be in that kitchen?
It was like peeking into a world you couldn't access, which is strange because I had a lot of free rein in the kitchen growing up. You know, I'd come home after school and my brother and I would make snacks and, you know, I always had chores in the kitchen. But when Dad was in there, you know, I don't want to over-romanticize it, but it was almost like he was just in this zone and he didn't want you in there and he was just doing this thing. And, you know, the outcome was always so family-oriented. So it always kind of struck me as odd that the time he spent cooking was so off limits.
What do you think it meant for him to be cooking that food?
I think about that a lot now. And I think that it must have been very, maybe even sacred. I don't know. There were a lot of things I remember, like not being able to get my dad to care very much about. You know, he would show up for stuff, you know, band recitals and things like that. But, I mean, that was something that just always had 100% of his attention. And I think coming to this country, he was, I think, barely 18. And for years, he didn't return home. And, you know, both his parents died years apart, but while he was in California. And you know, I think sometimes of just how isolating it can be being a West Coaster in the Southeast in certain experiences. I can't imagine some of the challenges he must have gone through being not just from another country, but also from a part of the world that most Americans tend to look at with sort of a downcast gaze. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't tend to look at Africa and its many countries as a place of aspiration or inspiration, even though there's so much going on there that is to be admired.
Sure.
We tend to focus on and only hear about the things that are tragic and hard and sad. So, you know, maybe for him that cooking, you know, was a time to think about just a space that, you know, none of us could go.
Mm.
And maybe that's why we weren't invited in.
And then your parents split.
Right. When that split happened, you know, we moved with my mom and, you know, I realized, okay, there's no Nigerian food in the house anymore. It was kind of just this sort of subtext that it's not something anyone really talked about, but, you know, you notice it. And so for many years, I didn't eat Nigerian food. Now my relationship is kind of one of reuniting. And, you know, along with that comes lessons and stories and corrections being made to me about how to pronounce things or, mm-hmm. you know, what gets served with what. I mean, so some of my memories don't line up with things I see on the menu. So I'm sort of trying to play this puzzle game, putting things back together.
It's interesting because the emotional relationship people have to food, you know, it can be varied. It can be all kinds of things. But for a lot of people, especially when they're immigrants or the children of immigrants, I feel like the things that people really hold on to are these sort of like warm and fuzzy memories of when we were kids. This is what we ate as a family. And I want to preserve that memory. I never want to let that go. And in your case, it is sort of a different thing because those family memories are not necessarily entirely warm and fuzzy. So it's not just a matter of nostalgia. It sounds like you feel like you need to actively learn about this culture that you have a stake in. So how do you go about learning about it then, like you said, like in some ways as an insider, in some ways as an outsider?
Right. Someone recently told me, gosh, it sounds like you almost come from a biracial background because, you know, you have these two family experiences that are so disjointed in some ways. And you're kind of the only, like you're the only indicator of that mix. And it is very bifurcated. And what kind of helped propel me is kind of been looking at the way West African cuisine has influenced the way that we eat. People are talking about it more. It's actually becoming a little bit more visible. You know, it shouldn't surprise us that given that so much of how we eat comes from the Southern tradition, that it was West Africans and Black Americans who really helped shape a lot of the way we eat now. But that blows people's mind when you frame it that way. And, you know, it's almost like they start quizzing you. Well, like how and like what? And, you know, you can kind of list, well, you know, you've got produce that came as part of that forced migration. And you've got black eyed peas, you've got okra, you've got the rice that was developed in South Carolina. You know, I mean, you have all these different kind of hash marks where you can see along the way. And then, of course, so much scholarship has been done around the recipes and who was cooking. And, you know, that has its own place in the story as well. And I'm interested in understanding a little bit more about that flow of history. And, you know, I have this Nigerian name that I'm always having to talk to people about because that's one of the first things that people want to know about me, even just in passing. Like if I'm on the phone with a customer service representative, like that's how they want to spend the whole time, like talking to me about the origin of my name. And so I'm constantly telling this story. And then that's kind of for a long time, that's kind of all I had to say, right? I mean, it was just like, well, this is my name and this is what it means and this is where my father is from and that's the end. And I'm now just beginning to open that up a little bit more.
Yeah. And so do you cook Nigerian food for yourself now?
I don't yet, but I'm getting there. And I don't know why it's so hard. I read something recently, and I wish I could remember her title, but she's currently, I think, in Bill de Blasio's administration, and she was saying how she didn't feel like she could cook her mother's maybe her mother's or her grandmother's recipes. Like it was, it just was like a line she didn't want to cross. And I mean, I don't even have recipes, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It's like the period of my life where I might have been invited into the kitchen or been able to have those kinds of conversations with my dad, we were separated. So yeah. It's taken a lot for me to just claim this as my own story.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Sai.
Thanks for having me, Francis.
Osayi Endelin is working on a book about the West African origins of how Americans eat. You can find her on Twitter at Osayi Endelin. Well, there are thousands of recipes for Hoppin' John, but we have a great one for you. It's from Chef Sean Brock of Husk and McCrady's. Find his Low Country Hoppin' John at splendidtable.org.